Please be seated. I want to thank everyone for coming today, for gathering together in worship, and please join in the tea and coffee afterwards. And I want to thank this week the Brew Crew. We often don't do that. Our big thanks to the Brew Crew who provide us with coffee every week. And I know Dick wants to make an announcement, so I'll let him go next so that you hear that one. All I mean is, by the time you hear all mine, you may, you know, kind of forget the next one.
Good morning, and I'm glad we're awake. We'll try to stay with you, though.
Thank you.
Do you know what's happening in the next 2 days here at Appleby? Pancake Day, that's right. It's going to be Shove Tuesday, and time again for the annual Appleby Family Pancake Supper from 5 till 7. Do you have your tickets?
Yes.
I have mine. Some of us, I know, have ours. Those who don't, today is certainly an opportunity. We'll be happy to see you in the hall after the service, and you have the opportunity to pick them up. However, if that's not convenient, you can buy your tickets at the door on Tuesday. Come for 5 o'clock. We'll try and sit you as soon as we can. And we look forward to those who are able to come. We'll come and enjoy a great time together. Thank you very much.
Highlighting other things, there's lots going on this week. On Tuesday is the Not Fake News, Bible in one hand, bring a newspaper in the other. And we're asked to bring a newspaper article so we can chat about it. That's Tuesday at noon in the youth room. You can almost stay all day and then stay for pancakes. And then Ash Wednesday, as mentioned in the bulletin, there's a correction though. The service is at St. Stephen United Church at 6:30. Tansley and St. Stephen's decided to do it together. It's going to be at St. Stephen at 6:30 rather than at Tansley at 7 in the bulletin, as is mentioned. Also, the Lenten study is starting in the parlor this week and on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, I believe. So see it in your bulletin. And we're simply following along in the book, We Make the Road by Walking, and which is also the themes of the messages through Lent. Any other celebrations or concerns for the church family this morning? Before we continue, I just want to let you know the flowers at the front of the church this morning are in memory of Douglas McKelvey from his wife, Chris, and family. And thank you for that. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Let us now remind ourselves of God's presence in our midst. And this passage is for Transfiguration Sunday. Glorious One, Merciful One, Spirit of Freedom, keep us from hiding your glory, veiling our faces from one another, and locking ourselves into closed shelters. We praise you for your love of justice and mercy. For the grieving, the wounded, the dying, and the worrisome.
May they not lose heart.
For the prisoner, the hungry, the victim of violence.
May they not lose heart.
For the leader, the teacher, the parent.
May they not lose heart.
For the healer, the pastor, the counselor.
May they not lose heart.
For the church, the community, the country. May they not lose heart.
We gather today in the Spirit of God that we may live in truth and freedom together.
Let us pray together. O God of radiant truth, unveil our faces to the beauty and light in all of your creation. Bestow on us freedom to see the divine image bestowed on each of us. Help us to fall in love with the unique beauty you have created in every earthly thing. Free our hearts, free our minds to the wonder of you. Amen. Our next hymn is number 361 in the hardcover Voices United, Small Things Count, number 361. All things count, so Jesus said, cups of water, crumbs of bread, small things done, because we're kind, count as big things in God's mind. Small things make the big things grow, brings a beast inside the dough, puffs that fill the big balloon, notes that make a happy tune. Every hair that's on our head, every sparrow, Jesus said, God takes care of, counts and knows. God loves us from top to toes. Please be seated. It's important to take time to reflect upon our lives, and we reflect that in our service of worship through a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry. Let us pray responsively. God, we have kept ourselves hidden from ourselves and each other. Your love radiates our innermost solitude and desires, but we veil our brilliant countenances and our deep compassion when we encounter each other. And heal the ignorances, keep us from falling fully and glorious as your beloved people. Take a moment to think how you can live more openly and honestly with others, and in so doing, revealing more of God's grace and love. Amen. Let us rejoice now the assurance of God's love for each and every one of us. The Spirit of God is freedom, and that Spirit is with you. The good news of the gospel. With Christ, we are forgiven, loved, and freed. Amen. This morning we have two stories of Jesus from the Gospels, and the readers will come forward now. The first is from Matthew. Jesus warns against the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Do you want that stand? Are you okay with that?
I'm good. When Jesus spoke to the crowd and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees are the authorized interpreters of Moses' law. So you must obey and follow everything they tell you to do. Do not, however, imitate their actions, because they don't practice what they preach. They tie onto people's backs loads that are heavy and hard to carry, yet they aren't willing to even lift a finger to help them carry those loads. They do everything so that people will see them. Look at their straps with scripture verses on them, which they wear on their foreheads and arms, and notice how large they are. Notice also how long are the tassels on their cloaks. They love the best places at feasts and the reserved seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to have people call them teacher. You must not be called teacher because you are all equal and have only one teacher. And you must not call anyone here on earth father because you have only the one father in heaven. Nor should you be called leader because your one and only leader is Messiah. The greatest one among you must be your servant. Whoever makes himself great will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be made great.
It was now the day before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He had always loved those in the world who were his own, and he loved them to the very end. Jesus and his disciples were at supper. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, the thought of betraying Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him complete power. He knew that he had come from God and was going to God. So he rose from the table, took off his outer garment, and tied a towel around his waist. Then he poured some water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?" Jesus answered him, "You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later." Peter declared, "Never at any time will you wash my feet." "If I do not wash your feet," Jesus answered, "you will no longer be my disciple." Simon Peter answered, "Lord, do not only wash my feet then, wash my hands and head too." Jesus said, "Those who have taken a bath are completely clean and do not have to wash themselves except for their feet. All of you are clean, all except one." Jesus already knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, "All of you except one are clean." After Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer garment back on and returned to his place at the table. "Do you understand what I have just done to you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and it is right that you do so, because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You then should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you, so that you will do just as I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. No slaves are greater than their master, and no messengers are greater than the ones who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice."
Make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in love.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been on a great vacation? Anybody here ever been on a great vacation? Awesome. Someone's almost on a great vacation. Ian's leaving after church today, so that's awesome. In light of the fact that a number of the congregation is probably in the air right now, flying off to a great vacation, we're going to skip ahead to the conversation part of today's message, and I want you to find a person around you, maybe someone you usually don't talk to, and briefly tell them about a great vacation you've had. Does that make sense? I expect lots of chatter, so tell someone around you about a great vacation you've had. Go. Please stop. Thank you. Can someone in a word or two shout out what was your great vacation?
Italy.
Thank you. Greece. Thank you. Ireland. Thank you. Antigua. Thank you. Anywhere else? What?
Land over Maryland.
Land over Maryland. You'll talk to me at coffee, okay? I need to know more about that. Amsterdam, thank you. What?
St. John's, Newfoundland.
St. John's, Newfoundland. Wow, awesome. There are lots of great places to visit and explore. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. What Sunday is it?
Transfiguration.
Thank you. We climb up the mountain with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Kind of makes me wonder where Mary and Martha are. It seems like an old boys' club up at the top, doesn't it? This trip up the mountain with Jesus could be compared to a retreat or a great vacation that restores one in mind, body, and spirit. And then what are we doing on Tuesday? Pancakes, thank you. And bring a neighbor or friend. And also say thank you to the Pathfinders and Rangers, I believe, who are helping to serve, which is so important this year with people away. And then we start Lent on Wednesday, and I've already mentioned that the joint service is at St. Stephen at 6:30 if you want to join in. Appleby's Lenten study this year focuses on those final chapters of Brian McLaren's book, We Make the Road by Walking. And it has some great insights on how we learn to listen to the Spirit and putting Jesus' teachings into practice in our own day-to-day life. And in many ways, that's what Lent is about. It's about reflecting on our own life and reflecting on the stories of Jesus and putting the two together. Now, the subtitle in Brian's book is amazing, A Year-Long Quest for Spiritual Formation, Reorientation, and Activation. What a mouthful. We have been looking at it for a little over a year, and these are actually the last ones in the book that we didn't do last summer while I was on holidays. So we're starting with chapter 46, entitled The Spirit of Service. And Brian says the Spirit always leads us downward. And if you read the passage after Transfiguration, Jesus and the disciple come back down the mountain into the reality of everyday world. Anyone here who has returned from holidays and had to go back down into the regular routine and back to work and all those things knows a bit about what the disciples were facing. Now, that downward movement may surprise many in a culture that is obsessed with upward mobility. When we watch ads and different things, everything, we climb upwards. Socially, we want to rise to a higher standard of living at positions of work or in our social clubs. Yet Jesus said in Matthew today that the greatest amongst you must be your servant. Thank you. And whoever makes himself great will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be made great. When you or others think about God, what do you think people think of? What do you think of when you hear the word God? Whoa! You've got some work to do this Lent. What do you think of when you hear the word God? Our Creator. Thank you. Love. Where would most people think God resides? In heaven. Thank you. Way up there. Yet Jesus modeled a profoundly different version of God. 2 Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that while Jesus had the nature of God, he became a human being and took on the nature of a servant. In Jesus, God comes down to earth and meets us where we're at, in our neighborhood, on our level, where we need God the most. God comes down into the pit of human need and suffering and abandonment. God isn't distant from us, way up there in the clouds, looking down aloof. God is right here, right now, within reach, through a neighbor, through prayer, through a church community, through helping hands. While we race to get to the head of the table, Jesus shocks everyone by taking the role of the servant. Do you remember what he does that night? Thank you. Washes people's feet. We push and squeeze to get into the inner circle. Remember the description of the scribes and Pharisees wanting the best plates at the marketplace, best seats. Yet Jesus shocks everyone by walking to the margins to hang out with the outcasts and the outsiders. And he gets in trouble for that. While we fight to seize power over others, Jesus empowers others by standing with them in solidarity, listening to them with respect, by seeking to make them successful, not him, even at the cost to himself. Brian has a long list of suggestions of what happens if you listen to the Spirit. And I love them because they have to do with everyday life. He says, maybe you'll be at a party one day and you'll notice on one side of the room, all the more popular people, all the more beautiful people, well-dressed, laughing, having a great time together. Maybe even think about coffee time. And then in the far corner, you'll notice a person who is alone, feeling awkward, not knowing anyone, not talking to anyone, and the Spirit will draw you to the person in need. Maybe you'll be the bridge that connects that outsider to the inside. And through that connection, you'll both be blessed. Brian says, if you listen to the Spirit, this is challenging, this might happen to you. You'll be in a voting booth or in a position of power. And more powerful people will appeal to you for their vote, their support, your cooperation. They offer you plenty or make promises if you comply. But the Spirit will draw you downward to use your vote and your power for those who aren't at the table of privilege. The homeless, the sick, the infirm in body, mind, or spirit, the poor, the unemployed, the immigrant, the ailing. In short, the last, the least, the lonely, and the lost. And they've been featured a lot in the Hamilton Spectator this past week. The Spirit invites you to hear their concerns, take them to heart, so your heart can join with theirs. Here's what happens if you listen to the Spirit. Has anybody here ever had a disagreement with someone? Do you know of anyone who might be a little ticked or annoyed with you? Of course, we're not going to put our hands up for that one, are we? Of course not. Have you ever known someone maybe to spread rumors behind your back or work behind your back to cause you harm? Everything in you screams to get even, to write them off. But the Spirit will draw you towards them in humility, and you might say, you know, I have a problem and I need your help. Can we work on this together? Or maybe I sense some tension between us that wasn't there before. Can we try and make things better? What's up? Now, your opponent may be too angry and insecure to respond well, but whatever happens, the Spirit is at work in you. Anybody here ever made a mistake?
Never.
Never. Thank you. You do next week's sermon, let me tell you. You know, we want to hear from you. When we make mistakes, aren't we tempted to cover it up, to think nobody will notice, or make an excuse, blame others? You know, I wonder what Mr. Trudeau is doing these days. I thought that might get a response. You know, make a mistake. The Spirit will draw you to admit it first, to yourself and to God, and then to those who deserve to know, or those that you have harmed. Here's what I did. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And in that acknowledgement, God will be real. In your humility, God will be present. The Spirit always moves us downward, not upwards. Here's what happens if you listen to the Spirit. You'll see a person or a group being vilified or scapegoated. I don't know about you, but I'm uncomfortable with this passage from John because it talks about Judas Iscariot and the devil being, you know, sent into him. It's the last gospel to be written, and by then the community of faith has started to do what? They've started to make Judas the scapegoat. Okay? Everyone is blaming them, shaming them, gossiping about them, venting their anxiety on them. If you join in, you'll feel a part of the group. We all want to be a part of the group. If you're silent, they'll assume you are with them. but the Spirit will draw you to differ courageously and graciously. I'm sorry, you'll say, but I see things differently. I know this person. He is my friend, or she is a good person. They are human beings just like us. Maybe we need to struggle to understand Judas better. Does anybody remember Jesus Christ Superstar, the rock opera? That opera takes a different twist on Judas. How many of you here get the McLean's magazine? Anybody get McLean's? This is the February issue. What color is on the front? Thank you. Do you know what the title is? What's Wrong with the Left and How to Fix It. Okay? You flip to the other side. What color? Thank you. The title there is What's Wrong with the Right and How to Fix It. Thank you very much. I found the articles very, very interesting. What I found disturbing is that the article said there doesn't seem to be many red Tories or blue grits anymore. Do you know what is meant by that or what I took from that? What color are the Tories usually? Blue, thank you. What color are the grits usually? Thank you. So what's a red Tory? A little more in the middle, a moderate, okay, and a blue grit. Maybe people more in the middle that are able to have thoughtful, respectful conversations about things that matter so we can move forward. Welcome to the Brown Bag Lunch on Tuesday at 12 noon. Bring a newspaper article. Now, do you want to know what McLean says will be one of the hot-button issues in the upcoming election? Immigration. The Brian said, another suggestion, if you listen to the Spirit, you'll be in a public place. You'll see a person who by their dress or language or mannerism is clearly from another religion, another culture, or another social class. You can tell that person is uncomfortable and has a need. You will fear the Spirit inspiring a question within you. If I were in their shoes, in an unfamiliar or uncomfortable environment, what would I want someone to do for me? Then you move towards them. You will overcome differences in language and culture. Through your eyes and a warm smile and a gentle presence, you will speak a universal language of neighborliness. And in that moment, they and you will feel that God is real and the Spirit of God is alive in you. Maybe an issue a little closer to home. Has anybody ever come home or you're tired, you've come home, it's late, and you know what's greeting you in the sink? You know what's greeting you in the sink. I hear the laughter. Great big stack of dishes. Maybe there's coats and boots on the floor. Maybe the trash hasn't been taken out. Okay? And inside you scream, someone was supposed to have done this. I'm tired. I don't want to deal with this tonight. You rehearse your speech. You're ready to give it to them. And then there's a little something in the back of your head that goes, maybe they're just as tired and overworked as I am. So maybe I can help. And then you start to wash the dishes. First of all, you scrub them very, very hard. You know why? It's called working out your anger, right? You know? Do the pots and pans first. They're the worst. And you do it not to be manipulative, but as an act of service. Now, if the habit becomes the neglect is habitual, you won't step in right away, but you will find a gentle, wise, kind way to speak to them and help them fulfill their responsibilities better. Either way, as you serve, you will know that God is real and God is alive in you and in that community. One of the things I love at the end of this chapter, Brian says, you know, there may be a time in your life when you are the one that will need to be served, not serving. How many find it easy to be served? A few, thank you. Most of us find that hard. Even then, you'll have the opportunity to appreciate, to bless, to say thank you to those who serve you. And in doing so, you'll experience mutual service and one of the greatest joys of life. In this passage from John's Gospel today, there's a mess up. Someone made the arrangements and forgot something for the Passover. Do you remember what they forgot? They forgot to get a servant to wash their feet. You can almost feel the awkwardness in the room. The disciples are trading glances at one another. I'm not getting up and doing that yucky job. You do it. I'm not doing it. You do it. Jesus notices the eye movement, and guess who gets up? Thank you. Jesus gets up, takes off his outer garment, and washes the disciples' feet. If you follow the Spirit of God leads you downward into humility, into service, into solidarity, into risk and grace. We often strive to be cool, to fit in, but now the Spirit makes you warm with compassion for others. At times we climb over others to get to the head of the table. Now the Spirit leads you to wash their feet. You used to strive to fit into the inner circle. Now the Spirit dares you to be different on behalf of those on the outside and the outcasts. Jesus tells us you don't find God at the top of the ladder. You find God through descent, by going down the ladder. And on the bottom, there's a trap door. And when you fall through the trap door, you fall into God. It happened to Jesus, specifically on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And whether you or I want to acknowledge it or not, it will happen to us sometime in our life too. And when you fall through that trap door, know that you fall into a God whose mercy and compassion is beyond our imagination as we all wrestle with the darkness in our lives and in our world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Your offering today helps both Appleby and the Weidel Church come off the mountain and go down into service in the world. Please know your gifts give glory to God and help make life brighter and better for others. We'll now have our morning's offering.
Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all, healing pain and sickness, blessing children small, washing tired feet and saving those who fall. Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all. Take my hands, O Jesus, let them work for you. Make me strong and gentle, I'm in all I do. Let me watch you, Jesus, till I'm gentle too. Till my hands are kind hands, quick to work for you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask your blessing on these gifts so they might shine with your glory and being a blessing for others. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, number 356, as we prepare for communion. 356.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia,
know that in the United Church of Canada we practice what is called open communion, and the table is open to anyone who desires a relationship with God through a friendship with Jesus Christ, young and old alike. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to God.
It is right to give God thanks.
Blessed are you, Creator God. You created us in your own image, blessed us, and sent us forth as your children to be a blessing to one another and the world.
On this Transfiguration Sunday, O God, we thank you for the light of Christ that was revealed to your followers many years ago on the mountain, a light that helped us to look back into the stories of the people of Israel and forward to your coming again in glory.
We thank you, God, for the stories of Moses and Miriam. Moses followed your call to lead the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and Miriam taught your people how to rejoice in God's deliverance. We thank you, God, for the writing of the prophets, Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, words of challenge during times of economic prosperity, and words of comfort and hope during times of uncertainty and despair. as Peter, James, and John went up the mountain to Jesus for a time of rest and renewal. Be with us during this celebration of communion. Feed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, as Jesus led the disciples back down the mountain to be God's agents of light and love in the world. Reveal to us avenues of service at home, at school, at work, so that the love that flowed to us through this bread and this cup may flow through us to the world.
The light of Jesus on the mountain was a foretaste of the glory to come when Jesus was raised from the dead to live forever at the right hand of God in heaven. Before his moment of glory, Jesus headed back down the mountain to proclaim your love among the darkness of your world.
Jesus was mocked, beaten, and betrayed, hung on a cross to die, saying, my God, why have you abandoned me? As Jesus faced times in the wilderness when God seems absent in his life, so will we.
As Jesus was raised to new life 3 days later to show that God was with Jesus even in the midst of the darkness, so will we be raised to new life.
To commemorate his love that will not let us go, we gather as friends of Jesus to share a meal of love and fellowship with him. We do so in the manner that Jesus did the night of his arrest. He took bread, thanked you as we have thanked you, broke the bread and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember my love for you."
After supper, he took the wine, thanked you for it, and passed a cup of wine to his friends, saying, "This cup is the new promise God has made with you in my blood. Each time you do this and drink from this cup, remember me." Remembered with thanks, we remember how Jesus lived and taught among the human family many years ago, and we look forward to his coming again in glory. We are deeply moved by the depths of God's love for us, and that spirit of his love lives on as we gather to celebrate the stories of Jesus, God's anointed one, who lived and died and rose again. As Jesus was raised to new life, give us the courage, O God, to live out your acts of love in the world, even when those acts of love bring us face to face with the powers of darkness that sometimes rule this world.
We look forward to Jesus coming again in glory, when all the world will be transformed by the power of God's love. Help us to be faithful witnesses to that love in the world. Strengthen us through the sharing of this bread and wine around your table, that we may be yours forever.
Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and glory are yours, God most holy, now and forevermore.
Amen.
The body of Christ, which is broken for us. And the blood of Christ, which is shed for us. This morning, communion will be served by intinction, which means you come forward. Please cup your hands, and a piece of bread will be placed in your hands, symbolizing the God's grace as a free gift to us. Then you take the piece of bread and just dip a little bit in the grape juice, the wine, symbolizing your desire to be a part of God's love and grace in the world. And gluten-free crackers will be on the plate in the center. Okay, come forward. You and I are going to be on this side, I guess. I guess we need to serve one another, don't we? Hang on a sec. Go ahead, you take a piece. body of Christ, which is broken for you. The blood of Christ, which is shed for you. Okay? You guys are going to serve one another, and then you're going to serve the people who've come forward. Okay? You're going to serve me, I guess. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Here, I usually do them. And I'm going to let you do this. Or how are we going to do this? Okay. Let us join in the concluding prayer of communion. As we gather with you, O God, on the mountain and around this table, send us forth with the power of your Holy Spirit to be your servants in the world. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, who strengthens us on your way, and who came so that we might better understand your love for us and the world that you have made. As you have touched us with your love this day, use us to be vehicles of your love to others. Amen.
And our closing hymn is number 120 in the hardcover, Voices United. O Jesus, I Have Promised, number 120. into the week ahead of them.